seconds.
This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely delighted to be with you today, thanking God for this opportunity to come together in His name and to be this mystical body of Christ in the world today. And so much need for prayer today in so many different ways. And I was just watching the news before we came on the air here, and I'm sure that many of you have already heard about this terrible building collapse that took place in Miami, Florida. So many people unaccounted for. Bodies being pulled out of the rubble, and it's just a terrible tragedy that's occurred there. I thought, in light of that, you know, and because my heart and my mind is filled with it right at the moment, what do we do in these situations? What can we do? Well, what we can do is be who we're called to be. We can be this mystical body of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we can offer up prayer for each other. Many families are going to get horrifying news today. Many individuals have lost their lives, I'm sure, already in this terrible tragedy and calamity. We can only pray that they were prepared. We can only pray that they were prepared. And because we know that our prayer is outside of time and space, we know that God will take our prayer and He will apply it to the moment that that person's soul was leaving the body. And this can be a great way in which we can stand in the gap for them through this prayer and help for them to give that fiat to our Lord Jesus Christ in this most crucial moment of their lives, the one that leads them into their eternal reality. So let's just take a moment and let's just pray. And I want you to collect yourself and to, just come before the presence of the Lord. He's always with us. He's in this present moment. He's immediately available because He never leaves us, nor does He ever abandon us. And He works all things to the good, and He works good out of tragedy. Yes, He does. And so it is, Father God, that we come together in the name of Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and we offer this prayer to You now. We pray for all of those who are victims of this tragedy. We pray for those who have lost their lives in it. We pray for their family members who will hear the news of it. We pray for those that are waiting to hear what the outcome is, if their family members, in fact, are safe or if they are not safe. We can only imagine the tension and the panic that is taking hold and gripping the hearts of these individuals. And we ask that You would send legions of angels to them right now, that their guardian angels would be present to them, that they would seek You in this moment. We ask, Father God, that that peace that surpasses understanding would be poured over them as we join together now as Your mystical body, offering this prayer for them and for all that have experienced great tragedy in their lives. And so it is now that we come and we pray this beautiful, beautiful prayer, asking for Your provision and asking for Your blessed presence to be in the midst of all of this. As we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. And now we beseech the intercession of our Blessed Lady. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And now we give glory and praise to God, who has heard our prayer, who makes haste to help us, who already is about the business of bringing life to His people in this world or in the next. All glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Mary, help of Christians, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so it is now that, we come into the program on that note, realizing, of course, that no man knows the day nor the hour. And, of course, what I'm thinking of right now is how prepared are we? How prepared are we if it should be the Lord's will that this should be the day that we are called into accountability and receive the news of where we will spend all eternity? And I only pray that we're prepared. And we have so many options for preparation to take place. And my question is, do we really make use of them? And it's just a prayer I'm asking myself. It's just a question that's going through my mind right now. And we need to prayerfully consider it. We certainly do. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love to have that holy conversation with you. Again, that number is 833-288-3986 or 833-288-EWTN, whichever way is easiest for you is good with us. So we just invite you to pick up the phone and give us a call. Charles Beery on the phone for you today. He's eager to hear from you too. You put a smile on his face when you call in. And if you're a first-time submitter, we certainly invite you to let us know, or a first-time caller, and we will ring our first-time caller welcome bell for you. Where do you submit? Well, you go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You use the chat feature there. Jeff Burson, our social media manager and our producer, will pick up that question or comment that you leave in the chat feature, and he will put it up on the board for me, and I will be able to address it, and we will be able to make our way through this time together, seeing what God has in mind for us indeed. Always, always, always eager to hear from you right here on Women of Grace Live. We do invite you to pick up the phone and to give us a call. As I say, it does make, Charles happy. It makes me happy too. So we're looking forward to hearing from you. We have been spending some time talking about the Sacred Heart through the course of this month. This is the month of the Sacred Heart. We're closing out on it. As you know, tomorrow is probably the 25th, 26th, 27th. We'll have a couple of days next week before we actually close it out. But, we do very well to meditate upon this great love that God has for us. So much so that, as it tells us in John 3:16, he sent his only begotten Son that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life, right? And so why did God send his Son? He sent his Son out of love for us, for God so loved the world. Now, when we hear that word, the world, yes, of course, we think of the created world. But, of all of the creation, who is the one that images the likeness of God? And that would be the human person. So, I often like to take that verse and substitute my name in place of the world. For God so loved Johnette that he sent his only begotten Son, that if she would believe in him, she might not perish, but have everlasting life. To personalize that passage really brings home what is being said to us through that passage, the great mystery and the great truth that God spared nothing for us, and he spares nothing for us. And his ultimate goal and ultimate desire for us is everlasting life. When we look at the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ and we see that exposed heart, it's a statement about that love. It portrays for us the depths of suffering that our Lord went through and that flame of his love that never dies out, but is always available to us. So let us not hesitate. Let us seek refuge in that Sacred Heart, in the good times, and most especially in the more difficult times, knowing that God is with us and every spiritual blessing in the heavens is ours. We're going to be right back, inviting you to call us, 833-288-EWTN. This is Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. I'm delighted to be with you today. I certainly am. This is the day the Lord has made. We're called to rejoice and be glad in it, knowing that every need that we might have, in any way that we might have that need, is already anticipated by God, and the grace is already right there for us to receive it. And, we talk about that quite a bit here, receiving the grace of God and how that grace is received. Well, to receive receive something, it means we have to be receptive. It means we have to be open to it. We also have to believe that there's something in there for us, right? So when we are receptive to what it is that God wants to entrust to us, when we are receptive to the grace that He wants to bring, then we are at the ready. And we have faith and confidence and hope that whatever it is that is our blessing, we will receive it. It's that faith that's required. It's that faith to walk in the grace that we know God is giving to us, even if we don't feel that grace. And there are moments in our lives when we don't feel the grace, when our senses defy us. Our senses are not always aware of what's happening in the supernatural, and that's probably toward our benefit. We don't necessarily want to be dependent upon emotion to be the barometer by which we evaluate what's taking place and what isn't taking place. We want to rely upon our intellect. If the emotion comes, that's great. But then our intellect is called to inform our will, and we are called to act accordingly. And this is one of the great mysteries that we experience with grace. We also need to be willing to receive that which God knows is best for us to receive. And even if we don't know, and it doesn't look like it's the best thing by our estimation, we need to exemplify yet another virtue, trust. Trust in God. I give a little acronym for trust, true resolve under severe testing. We don't need trust if we're not being severely tested, right? We only need trust when it seems as though our hope is not going to be fulfilled. And then we need to trust that it's going to be fulfilled, and not necessarily in the way in which we think it's going to be fulfilled. But we have to be willing to know that this God who is all goodness will only give us the very best. So no matter how this grace gets expressed, whether it's according to our desire or according to what we consider to be the best way, we have to be willing to receive the way in which God gives it. And I cannot tell you how many times in my own life I was praying for a very specific thing, looking for a very specific outcome. And my prayer was answered, but not at all in the way in which I anticipated. And in the moment, I didn't think my prayer was answered. But retrospectively, as time moved on, I could see not only was it was answered in the very best way. Have you ever had an experience like that, where you see retrospectively that God answered your prayer to a degree that it never could have been answered had he followed the way in which you wanted it to be answered? I'd love to hear about it right here. So give us a call, 833-288-EWTN, Charles Beery on the phone. He cries. He cries when there's no calls that come in. I don't want him crying. I want him smiling. I want him rejoicing. And you can help him to do that. 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. It's toll free for you right here in North America. Outside of North America, we've got a number for you, and it's country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. Also want to let you know, EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page is available for you. They're out there in social media land, it is. And you can use the chat feature. Put your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement in that chat feature. And Jeff Burson, our producer and social media manager, will retrieve it, and he'll get it up on the board for me. Just to give you an example of that, we're going to go right away to Mary, who's waiting for us. She is listening to us via 820 AM St. Gabriel Radio. She's in Dayton, Ohio. We're delighted you're with us, Mary. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I had a hip replacement, and I'm...
Oh, did we lose you, Mary? Yikes, what happened? Okay, so what I got from that is you had a hip replacement. Why don't you call back in? We'll finish up your question. But in the meantime, anytime that we go through such a surgery, we know that there is an aftermath to it, and a lot of therapy is necessary to help us to accommodate and acclimate to this new way in which we are experiencing our body. And so while you're calling back in, let's just say a little prayer for you. And I invite you to call us today, two friends, or to send us a message via the chat features at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. The number for you to use toll free here in North America is 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. And so it is, Father God, that we lift your daughter Mary up to you in this moment. And you know she's had this hip replacement. her hip, the hip that you gave to her, wore out. And yet, Lord, in your providence, you desire for us to experience wholeness of life. And so you inspire men and women to create new ways for us to be able to function as normally as possible. And your daughter has taken advantage of this opportunity, Lord. And we're asking now that since this hip has been replaced, that you would make smooth this transition from her old way of feeling and acting and moving to this new way. We pray that through the advice and counsel and the hands and the help of the physical therapist that she would adjust to this new hip and this new hip would adjust to her. Father, we marvel at the way in which you care for us. We marvel at the wonders of medical science who uses ethical practices for us to be made well again. And we ask that you would continue to inspire men and women according to an ethic based on the dignity and value of the human person, that you would inspire them to continue to come up with new ways to be of service to us. I pray also that your daughter Mary would have patience, a great virtue that is necessary when transitions like this are taking place in our lives. So imbue her with that virtue of patience. Imbue her with that virtue of trust that we're talking about and have been talking about through the beginning of the program here. And also faith. Faith that, though she might not yet see the full measure of the benefit of this hip, she will come to see it because it will be realized in her. I'm Mary, are you there? Hi, Mary. Are you there?
I'm sorry, Johnette. We lost her again.
Oh, dear. Must be a bad connection. Well, that's okay. So we just incorporate everything that is on Mary's heart this day, Father God, all of the needs that she has physically and emotionally, spiritually, and psychologically. We incorporate all of those into this prayer. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. Well, we're eager to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us here. You can also join us out there at social media, and it's EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page that permits you to do that. Chat feature there. Put your question in, comment, and Jeff will grab it and we'll get it. If you're a first timer, I keep telling you, do want to know that. Submitter or caller. We'll ring our welcome bell for you. We certainly do love to do that. Well, you know, we're talking about these great realities, aren't we? We're talking about these great virtues that we need to use, these great virtues that we need to employ. I guess a better word for all of it would be to acquire. And we're talking about hope. And, you know, this hope is a great virtue. And, we need hope today because things look so bleak. And I'm sure that in every day and age, things have looked difficult for the people that occupied those days and times. There's never a day and a time that is not fraught with difficulties and struggles. That's because we live in a broken and fallen world. And until our Lord Jesus Christ comes back again, that broken and fallen world is going to exert an influence, right? Is going to exert an influence on us. And so it is that we must remain steadfast. And this is why we pray for that virtue of patience, and we pray for that virtue of long-suffering, and we pray for that virtue to be able to endure. And I like to say that, you know, endurance is one thing. We have to be able to make our way through it. But in addition to that endurance, the other thing that we have got to exemplify is this willingness, this great willingness to embrace the cross and to let the cross embrace us in such a way that we can gain the treasury that is inside of that cross. I talk about this quite regularly because I think it bears repeating quite regularly. I know in my own life, I have to have little sit-downs with myself and give myself a little pep talk every once in a while. Okay, Johnette, you know, this is what you say out there. How well are you living what it is that you're preaching out there today? And sometimes I'm doing it really well, and sometimes I'm not doing it very well. And sometimes I just want to throw in the towel. We all come to those moments where the evil one prevails upon us in a struggle to become discouraged, right? And to allow ourselves to give up, to just throw in the towel and quit. But anytime we're feeling that discouragement, anytime we're feeling that we want to throw in the towel, anytime when we are feeling bereft of the presence of the Lord, we know that the evil one is prevailing. Now, in my estimation, He prevails for only one reason, because he knows that if we persist in the way in which we're going, the way of patient endurance, the way of embracing the cross, the way of mining for that treasury that's in that cross, if we continue to walk in hope, if we continue to cling to the reality that God is all goodness, and even in the midst of this difficulty and trial, he's going to work out a great good. He knows if we persist in that way, that we're going to realize that which we're hoping for, and he will be foiled. And he doesn't want us to be foiled. And so he uses his tactics. He discourages us. He plants seeds of doubt. He lies to us. He deceives us. And in doing all of that, he hopes to sway us off of the path that leads to joy and plant us firmly on the path that leads to despair. And the only one that can choose the direction in which we're going to go because of our free will is us. God is there. He's always there. We have to know that in faith. The evil one, he wants to dissuade us. He doesn't want us to go in that way, right? He wants for us to be chewed up by him and spit out so that we indeed are going to capitulate and walk away from the only path that leads to joy, that leads to eternal life. I want to read this to you. This is from Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene in Divine Intimacy. And this comes after the fourth week after the Epiphany here. This is the old calendar. And he's talking about Jesus calming the tempest, right? We all know that story. So Jesus is in the boat. And what's happening there? Jesus is in the boat and he's asleep. And the storm comes up, right? And the boat is being pitched and tossed, you know, and we can imagine that the, you know, sea foam is coming into that ship, and Jesus remains asleep, and his apostles waking him up, you know, what are you doing here sleeping? Don't you know we're about to perish? And so, you know, they lose this kind of confidence in him, because he seems to be not paying attention. But Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene, writes that. He says this: Jesus was sleeping peacefully in the stern of the boat when the terrified apostles awakened him. Lord, save us, we perish. He answered them reproachfully, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? If we are disturbed and upset by trials, writes Father Gabriel, it means that we lack faith. Even when God conceals himself, when everything seems to fail us and we feel terribly alone, we can be absolutely certain that God will never abandon us if we do not first abandon him. See, there's the key, isn't it? And then it goes on and it says this. Even when God conceals himself, when everything seems to fail us and we feel terribly alone, we can be absolutely certain that God will never abandon us if we do not first abandon him. Instead of becoming bitter or falling into despair, it is the moment to intensify our faith, to make strong acts of faith. Saint Therese of the Child Jesus used to say, I count on him. Suffering may go to its limits, but I am sure he will never abandon me. See, this is an act of faith. And note what that is. It's an act of faith. It doesn't mean that we feel faith. It doesn't mean that our emotions are communicating to us, oh, everything is going to be just fine and dandy. No, on the contrary, faith and trust and hope in God is only necessary when things seem hopeless, when we are tempted to distrust, when our faith is weak. And then we make an act of the will. We choose to exhibit faith and trust and hope in God. And we lean into that. And we lean into that, I think, sometimes through action. We cry out to God, I know you're with me. Even in this darkness, in this gloom, I know you are here. I believe in you. I trust in you. I choose to put my faith and my hope in you, O Almighty God. And we begin to praise him in that moment. I praise you and I thank you that even though I feel bereft of your presence, I know that is a lie. I know you are here with me. You tell us you will never abandon us. You will not abandon me. You are Emmanuel, God with us. And then Father Gabriel writes, the apostles were saved only when they called upon Jesus. As long as they labored and struggled alone, they had no success. Many times we fail to surmount interior difficulties because we work alone. God wants us to experience our own insufficiency. Therefore, he lets us struggle until we have recourse to him with full confidence. Isn't that wonderful? He lets us experience our insufficiency for one purpose, so that we will have recourse to him with full confidence. Certainly, God wants our efforts, but he does not want us but he does not want us to place all our hope in them. This accounts for the small progress so many make on the road to sanctity. Too much reliance on their own resources, too little on God's help. We must be firmly convinced that our sufficiency is from God. We must have less confidence in ourselves and more in God. Jesus can do all things, and confidence works miracles. We receive from God as much as we hope for. And I think that that's very, very good advice. And it's the advice and the counsel that all of the saints accepted and participated in through acts of the will. You, my brother, you, my sister, you are called to be a great saint. And yes, we have trials. We have them personally. We have them corporately. We have the trial that's taking place right in Miami right now, a terrible, terrible situation there. But God has not abandoned any one of those individuals. He's not abandoned their family members. He's not abandoned the victims. And he's not abandoned you, and he's not abandoned me. And we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk in the knowledge that God is there even when we don't see him. How has God shown up in your life? When did you want your prayer answered in a certain way? How did you see in retrospect that the way that he answered it was the way it needed to be answered? Because of the good that came by it. We'd love to know all about it. We've got Mike on the phone. We've got Verdale on the phone. We're eager to take those calls. I know that we're coming up to a break really soon here. I'm not really sure that we've got time, 70 seconds. So I'm going to ask you, Mike, to hold. Verdale, I'm going to ask you to hold. And I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to come right back to you following the break here. I'm inviting all of you to call 2-833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Easy, breezy, simple to remember. Also, go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature there. We don't want Jeff Burson twiddling his thumbs any more than we want Charles Beery twiddling his thumbs. So be sure to leave a message for us in the chat feature at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Let us know if you're a first timer either way, because we've got the first time caller bell here to ring for you, and I want to ring it. We're going to be right back, inviting you to stay with us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. I am Johnette Williams, and we are going to be right back. Stay tuned.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, welcome back, everybody. It's wonderful to be with you today. Eager to hear from you, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the number to use. If you want to do it out there in social media land, EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page available for you. If you're a first timer, do want to let you know, got that bell. Love to ring it. Love to ring it for the first timers. We have Mike on the phone. He's in Philadelphia today via the EWTN app. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing wonderful, Johnette. I had a question for you, and I'll listen without kind of responding to what you have to say. Two things. I'd like to know how you got started in your ministry, and I guess I'm sure you've told this story before, but I'd really like to hear it because I don't know it. And the other thing is, how did you get to know Sue Brinkman?
Oh, okay.
All right. I'll get off.
Okay, good. Thank you. Okay. Sure. Well, you know, it's an interesting thing, and it's a long story, so I'm going to try to abridge it. But I was away from the faith for 10 years in my early adulthood and came back through the Charismatic Renewal and began to get involved with my prayer group and then on a broader level within the diocese through the renewal and statewide and ultimately nationally here. And so, you know, I did that for a little while, but I knew that there was another call on my life. I knew that the Lord was leading me somewhere. I prayed for 3 years, didn't know where he was leading me. The desire in my heart was very great. I felt like I was going to burst with the desire, though I didn't know what it was that I was desiring, except that I knew that this desire had been placed there by the Lord. It says in sacred scripture, the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. It doesn't mean he's going to give you what it is that you want. He's going to fill your heart with his desires for you. And he will then give you a thirst to do what it is that he wants you to do. I finally got an answer to that question, and the answer came by way of an invitation to do radio on my local Catholic radio station in St. Petersburg, Florida, diocesan owned. And that was a daily show. It lasted about 12 minutes a day, Monday through Friday. Little teachings. It was called Living His Life Abundantly. We founded a ministry by that name and began to proceed forward with that. So I went on the air February of 1987 in St. Petersburg, Florida, and out to the surrounding areas, a very high-powered FM station, many watts, and it carried all the way just right into almost Orlando and then down to Sarasota from that area. That's a very broad area. And a year later, I was invited to use the edit facilities at EWTN, invited by Mother Angelica through a friend. I had been to Medjugorje and had interviewed all of the visionaries there and had footage, and I didn't have any place to edit it. Mother said we could use her facilities. Came up to the network, did that. Mother made an invitation to me at that time to send in a proposal for a television program, which I followed up and did. And the rest is history. I've been here ever since in 1988. So on the air, on radio, 87, doing programming with EWTN in 88. Come the year somewhere around 2003, and the Lord is prevailing upon me, and He is inviting me to do something for women. And, you know, this was really burgeoning in my heart. And so eventually what I sensed He was asking me to do was to have a conference for women, which we held not far from Philly at the Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa there in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. And that particular beautiful event took place right there at the very beginning of October. I think it was October 3rd through the 5th, I think it was, in 2003. That is correct. And since that time, Women of Grace has grown. I thought that was a one-off event, but it was not. It was the beginning of this Women of Grace ministry. We wrote a study for women, and that study has been used internationally. At least 60,000 women have gone through it at this point in time. I keep using that number. We've really lost track, to be honest with you. But at the last time we were able to really verify it, it was around 60,000. And here we are, all of these years later, continuing with this great outreach. The radio program eventually became called Women of Grace Live, and the television program that we do is Women of Grace. So that's how it's happened, and I hope that that answers your question for you, Mike. That's it in a nutshell, as brief as I can possibly make it. I'm astonished. Usually it's an hour talk. But God is good, and He makes good on His promises. I never imagined that this would be where I would be, or doing what it is that I am doing. But God had other plans, right? So we thank Him and we praise Him for that. We've got Verdale with us. Verdale is a first-time caller. Welcome, welcome, Verdale, out there. And is it Bacchus, Minnesota?
It is. It is. North central part of the state. And I've got a prayer request.
Okay.
We've got quite a few churches praying. It's for Deacon Joel and Amber, his wife, and their, I think 9 or 10 children. He had brain cancer. They removed that. But with brain cancer, there are some fingers that they couldn't get, evidently.
Yeah.
So we're hoping for a miracle. So anyway, we've been praying and would like to get you and, of course, the rest of the country to say a little prayer for Joel and Amber. It'd be great.
Well, I would be happy to do that, Verdale, and just delighted to do it. I have a personal connection to this kind of a diagnosis. My late husband, Anthony, died from a glioblastoma multiforme 4, and I know a little something about brain tumors, and I know the process. And so it's Joe and Amber. The deacon is
Deacon Joe and Amber. Yep.
All right. Okay. Well, Father God, we come before You. And we lift up to You, Your servant, Deacon Joe. And we lift up to You, Your handmaid, Amber. And Father, for whatever reason, through Your permissive will, You are giving them this great opportunity to suffer in union with Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is, Father, that in this very moment, as we think of Deacon Joe and we think of Amber, we envision that crown of thorns that circled the head of Your Son. We see that crown of thorns being pressed upon His head and pricking into His flesh. the blood that was procured and came from that wound and poured down his face. And we know that that blood was let for one reason. It was procured for one reason. And it would be for our salvation and for all of the trials that we would struggle with and that we would face in our own lives. And so, Father, even as our Lord was suffering, I know that in his divinity, he saw Joe and he saw Amber at this moment. And I would ask that one drop of that precious blood that flowed from that crown of thorns now would be appropriated to Deacon Joe. That drop of your most precious blood mystically would enter into his brain where this tumor was and where the vestiges of this tumor remain. I ask, Lord, that healing would come for Deacon Joe. I ask that for the period of time that this cross endures, that they would make, both Deacon Joe and Amber would make great use of it, that they would not let one spiritual blessing escape them, that in the midst of this suffering, they would find joy. And I pray that for Deacon Joe and for Amber, this is a moment of great spiritual growth. We know that we grow through the crosses that you entrust to us in a way in which we cannot spiritually grow any other way, and to depths we never could realize had the cross not been entrusted to us. And so I pray this for your son and for your daughter. We pray for a complete and miraculous healing, Lord. But we pray that, again, to whatever measure this cross lasts, to whatever measure it remains, that it would be used for the salvation of souls, for Deacon Joe and Amber's own spiritual growth and union with you, and that their very witness would become a light shining in the darkness that guides others who also are going through difficult trials and sufferings. I thank you for the witness of this couple. I thank you for all that you're doing and all that you have yet to do. And we pray and know in faith and trust that you have already made haste to help them. And so it is that we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. So, Verdell, we thank you for giving us this beautiful opportunity and privilege to pray for Deacon Joe and Amber, and I will be remembering them in my rosary. Please assure them of that, and I know that many of our listeners today will be doing the same. We've got great prayer warriors here on Women of Grace Live, and we thank you for that. Thank you for the call. All right, we're going to go to Colette. Indian Land, South Carolina is where she is from. EWTN app is the way that Colette is with us. First time caller, I get to ring my bell. And that always makes me happy. Welcome, Colette. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much, Janet. What a privilege to talk to you. Thank you.
Well, what a grace to have you with us today.
Thank you. I've been following you since the 90s. We lived in Sarasota for 9 years, and I used to tape you. You know, I used to tape the show on my cassette tape and listen, and now it's so beautiful that I can go on your website and be a member, so I can pull up whatever I want.
I'm so
glad.
And
I went to it this I went to it this morning, excuse me. And so I have a friend. I just wanted to ask you to pray. Her name is Connie, and she just lost. And I always think of you with Simon, and I just love listening to you and your prayer and your love for Our Lady. So I'll try to be, I kind of go all over the place, but she had twin boys, and then she has a daughter. And so one of her sons passed away 20 years ago. He was doing his last semester of school in Australia, and he was riding a moped or something over there and went off the road, and he passed away, which was like so sad. And then yesterday I got a note from her that her other son, Ryan, who is Eric's twin brother, passed away.
Oh, my goodness.
So she lost her twin boys. And, you know, I always think of you, like, when I talk to her with Eric, because Eric, the one that died 20 years ago, died on the Feast of Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception. And then said Ryan died August 20th, but I know Saturday was the Queenship of Mary. And so I just am trusting that Our Lady was with them and has her arms around them. And I just want to quick, I don't want to take a lot of time, but I know I used to get your magazine and then, you know, you, a long time ago, and then you stopped it. And I remember you had one with you and Anthony on it. And mm-hmm. I think you talked about, you know, the death of Simon and,
right.
you know, how it affected you. And then how Our Lady, I think since then, from what I understand, because I wasn't sure all the time, you grew more and more in love with Our Lady
yes.
since Simon's death.
Yes.
So anyway, I would just ask for your prayer for Connie and for
sure.
Our Lady to just wrap her in her mantle.
Yeah. We'll pray right now, Colette. But I want to let you know that all of those Canticle magazines are also in the Women of Grace exclusive subscribership opportunity that you're a member of. So you can go in there and, you know, they're there. They're in the library portion. So you'll be able to find it because there's a picture of each one of the covers. So you should be able to, I'm hoping that you can find that one. And, you know, I remember that article very well. And, you know, obviously I've done lots of talks about having lost my son and then having lost my late husband. And they're all archived there for you. And television programs that we've done on that are there. As a matter of fact, there's a television program that we did through The Abundant Life years ago when my husband was struggling with brain cancer, which ultimately took his life. It was a fatal diagnosis from the beginning. And I actually interviewed him. After he had how many craniotomies, and you can kind of tell, you know, when you see him there, and we talked about the loss of our son together on the air in that program. So these resources are invaluable at certain moments in people's lives, and we've covered so many topics there. So I'm glad that you make use of that opportunity, and I'm so glad that you mentioned it. So, you know, obviously, We want to be of service in any way we can. And I just uncovered, you know, Jack and I purchased a home here and we were surrounded by boxes. I was unpacking boxes and I found some DVDs of a program that I did with Father Mitch on EWTN Live. And I think I don't know if it was in 2007 or 2009. So it probably, and it's on sorrow and on Our Blessed Lady. So I'm sure that it's an interview that involves the loss of Simon and the loss of Anthony. And I have some of those. So leave your number, your address with Ryan. And let me see if I can't get one of those out to you that you can share with your friend. Okay. But in the meantime, those resources that are available there through our Women of Grace subscribership program, I think, are very, very beneficial and will give you some talking points as well for her. And yes, you are right. It was after Simon's death that, as I tell people, and this is the thing, you see, God works all things to the good. I was concerned after Simon's death. At first, I was not at all concerned about his eternal salvation. I just had this assurance of the Holy Spirit. But then, you know, the evil one gets in and he begins to have you be worried about all kinds of things. And I remember I became very worried, very, very worried and concerned about whether or not, you know, he was going to arrive at the beatific vision. And this is my spiritual life grew exponentially after Simon's death. And it was the great good that God worked out. And he worked all of that out for me through the people that he sent to me and talked with me, one of whom was Father Andrew Apostoli of happy memory. What a holy man he was and what a great grace he was. Father Benedict Rochelle as well. But all of that being said, it is true that Our Blessed Mother walked me through that time. And I know that she got me through that. I can never thank her enough. I can never thank God enough for her. I can never praise God enough for the gift of his most perfect daughter, creature like us, but most perfect woman who ever lived. I could never thank him enough for her spiritual motherhood. So Father God, we come before you in this moment and we lift up Colette's friend. Golly, Mom, you know how she is suffering. You know it. You know the travail of heart that she is experiencing right now. And I know, Mother, that you want to come. You want to come and you want to nurture her through this time, just as you nurtured me. You want the sweet milk of the Holy Spirit to come through you into her soul, that she might experience that hope, that consolation, that trust. I ask that every spiritual blessing in the heavens would be rained down upon her, be bestowed upon her, that she might have that certainty of heart and soul, body, mind, and spirit, that God works all things to the good, and that God knew that this was the moment in each of her sons' lives for them to achieve eternal life. I pray that this certitude is there. I pray that she can stand with me and saying, I would rather be deprived of my son in this life and have him for all eternity than have him for all of my life in this world and lose him for all eternity. God, you know what is best for each one of us. In your omniscient gaze, you see the moment. It's already planned for us. We know it. And so I pray that this becomes a consolation, a sweet meat of your love, for your daughter, Colette's friend. I pray again, too, that we as community stand with all who have lost children, that we lift all of them up, Father God, to you now, that we stand in solidarity with them in their time of need, that we become your presence to them in their time of travail. We offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. And Colette, that's your job. It sounds like she's at a distance from you, if you received a note from her. Yeah. But mm-hmm. you can be there with her spiritually through prayer and mm-hmm. also through communication mm-hmm. with her. All she needs is your presence to know that you're there. Words don't do it, but the gift of ourselves does.
Yeah. Okay. It's so hard. I don't know, you know, what to say or do. I did just wrote her back and prayed with her, but nothing right. like, you know, you. And I was searching this morning again, and I just didn't know. It said nothing's coming up. I didn't know what word to put in the search bar. So,
okay. Put canticle maybe in the search. Go to the library and put canticle in the search and see if it doesn't come up that way. Okay. Otherwise, just give us a call at the ministry. Okay.
Okay. So you said you wanted me to stay on the line to give my address?
Yes, to Ryan. Okay.
Okay. All right. Janet, thank you so much. I'm heading into Mass, and I pray for you and your ministry, and thank God for your fiat.
Well, thank you for yours. We're all in this thing together, Colette. We stand shoulder to shoulder and soul to soul.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, baby. Bye-bye now. Oh, goodness. Oh, Lord God. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Thank you for the gift of your divine life. Thank you, Lord. We would never make it without you. That's the truth. Let's go to Chris. Chris is in Schroon Lake, New York. EWTN.com is the way. Chris is with us. First time caller, is she? And there's our happy bell welcoming you, Chris. How are you?
Hi, Jeanette. It's lovely, lovely to speak with you. Your first-time caller kind of inspired me to call, and I was born Catholic and had a reversion conversion in the early 2000s, and through that conversion, I got very involved in the charismatic renewal. I got involved in Magnificat ministry, even gave a talk, and I was on fire for the Lord. But ever since I was younger, I always had that special hidden friend, alcohol. Mm-hmm. And I actually am a nurse too. And after my conversion, my husband got very ill and disabled, and, you know, physicist, engineer, has significant short-term memory and cognitive function issues. And over the course of time, instead of turning greater to the Lord, I went back to my hidden friends. And eventually ended up in detox when I finally admitted I had a problem. And the topic was temptation. And I have to say that Satan really holds you down. And after I went through detox, and by the grace of God, I'm sober 6 years. For 5 years, I wouldn't go back to church. I threw away all my books. I wouldn't step foot in, and Satan just kept telling me, "You hypocrite, you hypocrite," you know. And went to confession, and, you know, the priest said to me, and I said I put alcohol before my relationship with God. And, you know, he said, you know, when we hold up the host, you know, "Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, right?
Yes.
And I shall be healed." So it didn't work. And life circumstances brought me to Florida to snowbird. And I moved into the Villages, and I had this little voice, the Spirit told me, you know, "Give it a try." And I just was tormented by this. And it was a Women of Grace program. And I signed up for it thinking I was new, I'd meet people. I still felt like a hypocrite, but by the grace of God and those women, of course, I never really told my full story, but the Women of Grace program brought me back to God.
Oh my goodness.
And I was able to let go of that horrible, horrible feeling. And, you know, Satan would say, you know, I'd say, "Well, Peter denied the Lord." But then he'd say, "Yeah, but after the Holy Spirit, he didn't."
Mm.
And
isn't he just, oh, he's just awful.
And just by that program, it helped me come back to God.
Oh, praise be to God.
I used to say, "I know God forgives me, but I can't forgive myself." And just so happens, you know, they had a healing prayer after Mass, and I joined the Charismatic Prayer Group, and I kept hearing that voice, "Hypocrite, hypocrite, you don't deserve to be here." But I did, they asked me to help, and, you know, I did, and I, by chance, met a spiritual director, and now I'm seeing a spiritual director. So I just wanted to share that temptation and maybe a word of encouragement that you can get past. You know, we expect ourselves to be perfect after our conversion sometimes.
That's right.
And I know we're a work in progress, so I just wanted to share that with you.
Well, Chris, thank you. Thank you so very, very much for sharing. And thank you so very, very much for heeding the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And Nancy Elhaj is our regional coordinator in that area. And she has led, I don't know how many hundreds of women through the Women of Grace program there in the Villages and in surrounding areas. And I'm so happy that you were one of them. And we hear stories like this as a result of that Women of Grace program, because I think that the Holy Spirit shows up in it. And it's all the work of the Holy Spirit. And I often say that the study brings the women together, but it's not the study. It's the Holy Spirit that shows up in the midst of it all. And what a great grace for you. And I'm just so delighted, so delighted. Delighted for you. And again, you know, I just want to use your story and put a word out to everyone listening today. You know, you've had two stories of remarkable hope and remarkable healing that have gone on. And God wants to heal you. He does. And nothing is beyond him. So I hope that these stories encourage you. I hope that they take away any doubt that you might have. And I hope that it teaches you how to withstand the temptations of the evil one, which is where we began today. We can't get to any more calls at this moment, but we're going to be back with you tomorrow. And I want to invite you, Catherine and Frank and all the rest of you that tried to get in and couldn't get in, to give us a call tomorrow. We'll be back here with more reason to praise and thank the Lord. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, everybody. Thanks to our team there at EWTN. May the abundant life of Jesus Christ be yours. May God bless you in every way. Bye-bye now.